Glad I'm on it. Only one way to heaven. You may be able to get to Walmart 12 different ways, but there's only one way, amen, you'll ever make it to heaven. And Jesus Christ is his name. And there's a gate involved and there's a way involved. Let me say that again. There's a gate and there is a way. It involves a gate and a way. I hope you've got in through the gate. And I hope you're living in the way. Amen. Come on, Brother Bearden. You come preach to us. Appreciate this. I mean this reverently. I really do. I don't mean it irreverently at all. I appreciate the old man of God.
Amen.
Amen. The old man of God. That is a powerful statement. Don't mean it irreverently. This man of God's been around a long time. And has been not just around a long time, but has been faithful to the book, faithful to the cause of Christ, faithful in the ministry the Lord has given. And there comes a time where men like Brother Bearden, we really ought to sit up and really just try to glean from them what God has let them know and experience and learn. And we need that in these days. So you hear the man of God well tonight. Get your Bible open. He walked you right through the text this morning. You couldn't argue nothing. Brother Tim, couldn't nobody argue nothing that man of God preached today, because he just walked you right through it, line on line. Amen. You're going to get the same kind of preaching this evening. All right? Come on, brother. Love you.
Thank you. Amen. Well, good evening, folks. It's always good to be in the Lord's house. Oh, he is so good. I enjoy the spirit of the service. You know, the music's good. I don't know why anybody, if they're not sick, would want to stay at home on Sunday night, wouldn't you? That's a blessing. The men's quartet, trio, you better watch them. They'll be trying to buy him a bus. Yeah, it's that good. Praise God. It's just wonderful. I want to say a few things before I preach. This church has been one of the greatest blessings of any church that I preached in for over 50 years. And you've been stable. You stayed with the stuff. And I was just sitting here as the choir was singing, and I thought about the young families you have, the children that's coming along. And just the way that God is helping you. Now, what will happen if you're not careful in these days? You'll get discouraged. You'll get down. And you'll think, well, we're not doing anything. You better not believe that. Amen. God is blessing this place.
Amen.
So you need to do everything you can. When I went to Calvary in 1970, there was a real church there. Brother Bolden had got killed, and he was a great preacher. If I'd have known what a great preacher he was, I probably wouldn't have gone, but I guess they couldn't get nobody else, so they got me. And I stayed there. I was 33, and I stayed there for 33. I would have stayed longer, and what I'm saying is this. Those people really prayed for me. You would have had to seen what God did in that place. My wife and I and boys and all for 33 years. Only the Lord could have done that. And I'm leading into something. I don't think we pray for the preacher enough. Do you pray for your preacher? You pray for the preacher's family, the preacher's wife. I'm giving you a lecture that's right. And we ought to all do that.
Yes, sir.
I think it made the difference.
Amen.
You folks that are getting some age on you and you feel like you're useless, don't you ever believe that.
That's right.
The people that's waiting behind, you know, and they're wearing their bodies out or have already wore them out, may be the greatest thing that you have in a church. You ladies, that your husbands is gone and you're, I guess it's all right for me to give a little lecture before I preach. You ladies, your husband is gone and you are home and you have a lot of lonely hours and all of that. But you can be one of the greatest pillars in this church to pray for. I started out last year in January, this year. I started out in January and I just had the book full. And I got to the end of February. I preached sick for a while. And I just had to lay everything down. And I'm telling you this because I'm going somewhere with it. I just had to cancel all the meetings. And God just shut me up. But you're never doing wrong when you're waiting on the Lord. That's what we need to do more of. You listening to me? And more so now than ever. What is your relationship with God? And when it looks like that God is not even treating you hardly right, you're going through some things, He's probably preparing you the best of any other time. So God put it in my heart to stay at home more. When I'm going out to preach, I want to have been with Him. Because you spend your time and you come. And I'm telling you, the spirit of the service is here today and tonight. You know, just to meet with this missionary family, I've been refreshed in the Lord. And you've got good music, got a man of God to preach you the word. It was an older preacher. He's with the Lord now. You listen to me? He said, now you may thank the devil is down at the bar, or he's down at the honky-tonk, and he's spending his Saturday night there. But he said, of course, he knows better than this, but he said, the devil's not down there. He's at home asleep. He said he's at home asleep because he's going to be at church Sunday morning. And that's the way it is. The devil is at work, but Christ Jesus has got all power in heaven and earth. And we don't need to give up. If you're not spending extra time in prayer and you're not spending extra time in the Word of God, you know, you can be busy doing a lot of things, but there's nothing that you can do any better than pray and spend time in this Word. And that'll build you, and that will build a strong church. Right. And through the years, this has been a good church. And God is still in this place. There's a lot of places called churches. They're not churches. They got buildings. They got something going, but they don't have the right thing going. And you got the right thing. Stay with it. Stand the gap. Well, this happens and that happens. Yes, it always does. If you're worth anything, you're going to be attacked. If you're worth anything, you're going to be attacked. That didn't cost anybody anything but a few minutes. Okay? So I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the good meal. You just don't know how precious a good meal is until you're at home and you're wondering what you're going to eat next and you're the worst cook in town. Well, thank you for the good meal. Thank you for the good welcome of being here. And then, preacher, I tell you, that room that you had down there, it was like I'd You know, it's just like I was gone to Jerusalem and I was about to go home. It was so good. It was a place of rest. Bless the Lord, I praise Him. I got some good friends here. Brother A.L. Hall, he's told me a long time. He said, I pray for you every day. Nobody can ever do anything better for you than that. You ought to pray for your preacher every day. I wish you'd pray for me every day. And then Brother Jerry, he got my tapes, and I need to pull them out on the new birth, and he gave them to his brother. And his brother, he kept telling his brother, listen to them tapes over and over again. He is lost. God saved him. So there's materials out there, and I hope you'll get them. You know, we're not being like the Pharisees. We're not trying to be money changers.
Right. Right.
What I'm doing, I promise you, is of the Lord.
Amen.
This little Bible here, and I usually don't do this, but I think I need to. That Bible has got, it's got the Hebrew on one side and the King James Bible on the other. And we are sending those to Israel. Brother John Sasser, especially, what he's doing in Israel. They cost us $10. Preacher, if I didn't give you one of these, you need to get this, and you can pay me the next time I come. Okay. So that'll put you in debt to me, so I'll get to come back. Okay. Then we've got all the other books. Any of my books that we have printed, that book there is Essentials of Salvation. This book on the unjust steward has to do with missions. This book on the Jew and their land will help you. God's timepiece is the Jew. And this book on grace is that of Mephibosheth. And then we got a lot of small books out there. Get them. The seed don't need to stay in the barn. We need to get it out. And I appreciate you getting it. There's no price on those. If there's anybody here and you're real honest about it and you don't have the money and you want a book, you talk to me, okay? I'm talking about that. It's got prices on it. I wish you'd get some of those tapes. Some of Brother Clemens's tapes is excellent. I've got some of them. And well, we better preach or I'm going to talk all night. All right, open your Bibles to John chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 19, and I think I'll read down through verse 30. This is a great passage of the Word of God. In verse 19 of John 5, the Bible said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, he's talking to the people, verily, verily. Now, all of the Bible's important. Every bit of it's important. But when you see the verily, verilys, they are double important. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. When Jesus was here, he never did anything except what pleased Jesus, what pleased the Father rather. And we ought to strive to that ourselves. And he goes on to say, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all the things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. And he's done that. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, we talked about that this morning, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That's not teaching that God just that the Lord or the Spirit of God just quickens some people or speaks to some people. This Bible is an open book and invitation for all men and women and boys and girls to come to Christ. And anybody teaches you different from that, they need to go back to Bible school and learn that Jesus died for the sins of the world.
Amen.
All right, watch this. Look in verse 22. For the Father judges no man. Christ is going to judge the saved and the unsaved. The saved at the judgment seat of Christ, and the unsaved the white throne judgment, but committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Well, we ought to honor Jesus. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Now you believe this. I know you believe this, but there's three in the Godhead, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Well, we come to this verse 24. I quoted the last, this morning at the last, verily, verily, there you go again. Very important now. I say unto you, he that heareth my word. When you've got a man of God that's preaching you the word, and having men in that preaches to you the word, you ought to be extremely grateful.
Amen.
Did you know that every church is just one man between having a Bible church? I've seen it happen. And you've got that. We need to really emphasize that. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, exalts his word above his name, and believeth. Do you notice those THs on the word believeth? That's continuous action. You don't just run down the altar and say, I got saved, I'm going to heaven, and run back out and never come back.
Right.
You know, believeth on him that sent me, have the everlasting life. Boy, that's great. And shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come into judgment now, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Now get this verse. I want you to look right at it. I'm going to emphasize this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, comma, and now is, comma, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. Now, he's not teaching that you can work enough to get to heaven. You're going to have to get born again. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. Watch this now. I can of my own self do nothing, and I cannot either. Jesus is saying these words. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, I know I took quite a bit of time, but that is great teaching.
Yes, sir.
From the Word of God. You cannot go wrong. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the voice of God. I believe a lot of good Christians in the days past has got disappointed at something, or they got discouraged and they're down, and the first thing they do, they stop spending time with the Lord. They stop waiting on God. This is not the most important thing in their life, but it ought to be. You ought to read this word every day. Now, I know you don't have the time, as the pastor is full time. Most pastors they don't do nothing, do they? That's a joke. You're supposed to laugh about that one. Amen. But this book, folks, if we're going to go on with God, we're going to have to read this book. We're going to have to obey this book. And if you're slack in your prayer life, you need to get back in the closet. Because if you're slack, you're not only slack, you are disobedient. If you're disobedient, you slip back on God and you are headed for trouble. You can't leave prayer. You can't leave this book. You can't leave the Lord and be right with God. And I didn't even know I was going to say that, but I'm trying to obey the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus is God. He rose from the dead. He's going to judge all men, whether they're saved or whether they're lost, and God's already told us what is going to happen to each of them. But in verse 24, and I'll start right there, in verse 24, God has made great promises. And God has never promised anything. Jesus has never promised anything. The Holy Spirit of God's never promised anything that he has not carried out. When you feel like that you prayed and you don't know anything else to do, you know what you need to do? You need to pray more. Press on in. Like the woman that had the issue of blood. She pressed on in and she pressed on in until she could touch the hem of his garment. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a promise. You're hearing his word tonight. There may be people in here right now and we think all of them saved. It's not always so. They got religion. This church age that we're in, people's eat up religion. I was preaching back in the mountains in Cumberland County the other Sunday morning, and I preached a message on salvation, and there was a woman came forward, and she was an elderly lady. And she got on the altar, and of course I was trying, God was working through me, and Brother Mitchell said, God don't ever try to do anything. So what God was doing, he was challenging people to be concerned about their loved ones. Are we concerned enough? Well, it'll all work out all right. You better believe it will not unless we carry out this book. Unless we obey God. And that woman came and she's weeping. She's praying. And I thought, well, she's come praying for somebody. Preacher, he didn't come down there. He just let her pray. You know, a lot of places, you may do this, but I think you're wrong if you do. All right, I preach 45 minutes and lay out the word of God, and somebody come to the altar, and somebody, the first thing to do is stick a Bible out of their nose. Now, there's nothing like the Bible, but if I preach that long, you don't need... God's a working in people's heart. Leave them alone. Let them talk to God. You can't save them. I can't save them. The preacher can't save them. Nobody can save them but the Lord. And then when they done through with their praying or whatever they're doing, so the preacher just let that woman pray. And when she got up and sat down, he said, "Sue, why did you come? What's going on?" She said, "God has been speaking to me now for 18 months, 2 years. She said, "God has showed me I'm lost." Or I was lost and said, "I've come and I've called on the Lord." And she said, "The Lord has saved me this morning." He told me, he said, "That's one of the most faithful women in the church. I don't care how faithful you are, how much you give, whatever you do, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you just haven't got into the book and you haven't grown, or you don't know the Lord." And I believe a lot of them don't know the Lord. People take a shot at religion and they'll blame something and they'll say, "Well, that church over there." Well, Jesus died for your sins. And the church is going to be attacked. And the more you pray, you may get attacked more, but the more you're going to get done. So, you know, them Jews rejected the Lord, and in John chapter 11, or Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." He's talking about laboring under sin. "And are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You'll never get rest for your soul until you come to the only person that can give you rest. And that's the Lord Jesus. And I know I'm just preaching simple gospel, but it's not so simple after all. It just needs to be practiced. "Come unto me," he's turned to the Gentile now, and he's saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Here's your part after you get saved. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me. How are you going to learn of me? On your knees and in this book, being faithful to God, meeting God. The best day you'll ever have is when you learn that the biggest meeting sometime you can ever have is when it's with you and God alone. Now, if you lose your partner, my wife went to be with the Lord, and she was the best for Ray Beard. But I'm telling you, there's one that's inside of me and come inside of me. And that little country church, almost 64 years ago, when he got inside of me, and he and I are carrying on with one another every day. Amen. Hallelujah for old time religion. Junk all that other stuff. We've done, you know, this deadness is something. "Come unto me. You're my word." He said, "You just got everlasting life." Brother Sammy Allen used to say, "Now, if some of your loved ones," Brother Jordan, "some of your loved ones now happen to, God deals with them, they come down here tonight and get saved." He said, "Now, don't get excited. Everybody be quiet. Don't get stirred up about that. The only thing that happened to them is they just got eternal life. They're going to live forever. They'll not go to the lake of fire. They'll not go to hell." We need to get excited again about people being born of the Spirit of God. And the only way that's going to happen, we're going to have to get back to prayer. To believe in the word. Amen. Yes. Amen. And so he's passed from what? From death unto life. Now I'm going to give you three resurrections, and I think we'll be done. but they may not be too short. So I don't want you to think I'm about to quit. All right, I'd rather make you think I'm going a long time than quit early. All right, watch this. Verse 25 is an outstanding verse. We got them two words there again. Verily, verily, same word. How many, that's the third time. I say unto you, the hour is coming. Look at that. He's going to tell us about that hour that's coming in a moment. Watch what he said in the next statement. And now is. You're going to talk about two resurrections here. And now is that resurrection is for those who are lost, that are dead in their trespasses and in their sin. They're lost. They're on the way to hell. They're on the way to the lake of fire. So he said, and now is, if you're sitting here tonight and you have never truly been born from above, you've never been born again. This thing of being born again is not just a little profession. God resurrects you with the same power in salvation that it took for Jesus to get up out of the grave. And that's what's missing in our churches and in the preaching across this country. Away with all of this religion that don't have any holiness and godliness about it. All it does is damn more souls. The biggest opportunity in all the world is all of these folks that have no love for Christ, no love for Christ's church. Now, no real love for the Bible. Oh, my. Verily, verily, I say unto you. You want to look down at verse 28? The Bible said, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming. See, if you don't get in on and now is, when that hour comes, you die without God, it's going to be terrible, but the hour's coming. Well, what's going to happen? Well, the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. I guess the way this would be one good way to title this message would be the voice of God. All that's in the grave, them that's saved, he's going to tell us, and them that's not saved. Watch what he has to say in verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. You know when you've done good? When you've turned from your sins in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And you start living for him. When you do that, you've done good. If you have not done that, you are not doing good. And you're not going to do good until you come to Christ. You can come to church, you can give your money, but you're sitting there dead spiritually as you can be. You're dead in your trespasses and dead in your sin. Now, why God's ordered these two messages, I don't know, but he gave the orders. All I'm supposed to do is put it in your mailbox, and you can do what you want to with it, but I'm just God's spokesman. You know, they can put all my bills in my mailbox down at the house, and I don't want that. I'm not about to pay that power bill. Boy, I hope it's not 120 degrees at the house if I don't pay that. And it's getting cold out there. it's really getting cold out there. If you don't pay your bill, I'm going to tell you they don't really sympathize with you too much. Now, where all that comes from, I'm not sure, but I'm just saying that if you're getting what God is saying, believe it. Don't just fool around. You may not have to tomorrow. I may not get home tonight. I may be, but you tell everybody if I'm go home, there's a home that I'm going to forever. I'm looking forward to get back to Kingston, but I may go to glory. I didn't mean to tear up the... Hallelujah to God. All right, watch this. I want to show you the other one. Watch this other. Let's get to verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good on the resurrection of life. You just got eternal life if you've trusted Christ. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Damnation is judgment. I think I need to tell this. I sit in my place that I study, and I don't know how this happened, but in 1982, we got our house, and we just got a lot, and it overlooks the Clinch River, but it overlooks the all of that water, beautiful blue water. And I was reading in my Bible in Revelation chapter 20 of how that there's going to be a lake of fire. What happened to you? Did you see lights or what happened to you? God spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart, preacher. Pastor. And when he spoke to my heart, it just seemed that God made this clear to me. Are you listening? Are you listening? I know he made this clear to me. He said, that beautiful water, and I can sit there and it helps me to look at that beautiful water. But God said to them that know not Jesus, them that's never truly been born again. He didn't say them that don't have religion. Them that know not Jesus. He said, that body of water, and I can see it for a long way, this way, this way, and this way. He said, it's going to be a lake of fire. If your loved ones don't get saved, preacher, your neighbors don't get saved. Don't think, preacher, that it's just going to happen. Boy, God has healed me up. I spend more time. The only reason I'm saying this, I'm just trying to point to you. We must get back to being serious. I'm really serious about this thing. Oh, I'm telling you, have you ever been spiritually resurrected? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Does he talk to you through his word and through the Spirit of God? If you've got Spirit of God in you, he's the person. I'm telling you, if he's in you, God's in you. Did you know, I want to tell you a little something about God. People can mock God if they want to, but did you know that there's never been a time when there was not God? God never just happened up one day and decided that he was going to do what he's doing. He's the God of glory. If you don't know him, you need to get acquainted. It takes, and I know everybody gets saved in one sense the same way, but it don't always happen. Brother Billy Gooseby was preaching in our church, and this lady was coming. God was dealing with her heart. And she comes, and tears is running down her cheek. And always when I meet people at the altar, I said, what did you come for? I said, what did you come for? She said, I come to get saved. I said, I thank the Lord saved me before I ever left the pew. Jesus does the saving. I wouldn't throw the altar out for nothing, but the altar don't save you. Jesus and Jesus alone saves you in the working of the power of the Word and the Holy Ghost. We need to get serious. Watch this now. So have you ever been, let's go back up to 25 and I'm about done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Well, we covered that down in verses 28 and following. The hour is coming. That hour has not come right yet. And now is. He's talking about two resurrections. First resurrection that needs to take place in any person's life is we're dead in trespasses and sin. We must be, our sins must be forgiven, and God puts eternal life in us. If you have been saved, you got the Spirit of God. I have seen too many people that made professions and they were as serious as they could be, and they never received Christ. And I don't want to make anybody doubt. I'm just preaching. If it makes you doubt, maybe you ought to go somewhere. Find out. There's a girl in our church. We was in a meeting. We was in it for 2.5 weeks. It just kept building. People got to getting saved. She was faithful. Her daddy and mother was faithful. The whole family. She drifted. Some of you are sitting in here tonight. I don't know who you are. I don't have anybody in particular in mind. But I would say there's some folks in here tonight, and you've drifted, and you've drifted, and you've drifted. You know what happened to her? She got the point. She was like 2 Peter said. She'd got that she'd been purged from her old sins. And her daddy told me, said she'd come home and work at night. You know what this is? This is conviction. Said she'd come home at work, she wouldn't eat. She'd go to her room, she'd stay there till church time. And that meeting went on. Her name was Rachel. And Rachel said, I had been saved. I know I was saved, I know when I got saved. She said, I drifted so far from God, neglected my Bible, neglected prayer, until I'd forgot whether I saved or lost. What kind of shape are you in tonight? I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm just preaching. What kind of condition are you in tonight? Are you holding grudges? Are you bitter? Because everything didn't work out like you thought it ought to. It could be, are you full of doubt? If somebody hurt your feelings and you haven't forgiven them, I believe God had me to tell this, and I want to really be careful with it. There was a family in our church. They were some of the best folks we had. And they did. They worked all the time. And something happened. I don't know what it was, but the lady got she just got put out. And she said to me, "Preacher, I tell you what, I've done for this church and I've done for everybody else. Now I'm going to do what I want to do." Wasn't long until there was a divorce. I didn't even know where they'd gone, but they were good friends, my wife and that lady. And it wasn't that she was not a good woman and had a good family. But she decided that she'd go away from God. My wife Sue and her were good friends. And she married again, and they way down in the coast. She emailed me, and she said, "I heard about Sue's death, and said she was a precious friend to me, and said, you know what I did? She said, if you could forgive me, if you can't forgive me, I understand. If you could forgive me, she said, I want you to know I got right with God. She said, I've got right with God. I'm back in church. I emailed the person back, and I said, Sue and I love you and your family. I said, we wondered about where you were. I said, we forgive you already. You don't have to ask forgiveness. It's a matter between you and God. If you got a problem, your problem is between you and God. But you may have to get it straightened out with somebody else. She'd already covered some past, but then she got right down to the nitty-gritty, and she had to deal with it where it happened, where it started. And now, those people pray for me. They are miles away, but they want my schedule. They're praying maybe tonight while I'm preaching. You can get right with God.
That's right.
I think I'm done preaching. We'll stand. Would you feel like you need to come? I mean, you don't just feel like you need to come. You know you need to come. You got battles that you've not settled. Why don't you come on this altar and just get in this little altar? Call on God, and you don't have to tell the preacher or me anything. Talk to God. Forgive people that you need to forgive. If you've got somebody that you need to go to and tell them, I need to, you to forgive me, I've got something and I'm wrong, and even if you're not wrong, take the wrong. Take the wrong. Get it right and let the chips fall where they are. I've delivered my soul, and a lot of what I preached tonight, I had no idea. It's the way God was going to take it. But I know I preach what God wanted me to. We're standing.